Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Only God knows why. Welcome to it.
Yo, yo, yo. The recall sweetie event went really well last week.
Fitty Cents in the house.
Recall, he's bankrupt. RecallSweeney.com, Alex at RecallSweeney.com. They had another successful petition drive. There's going to be many more to come. We have 2.5 months of kicking butt. Actually, almost 3 months.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Well, I can't say yo.
Go ahead.
I'm hyper.
I'm trying to hold it.
All right, I just wanted to get that out of the way. We have two guests in the studio today. First one is a repeat offender here. It's Lieutenant John Uzzolino, who's a tactical instructor for Gun for Hire Academy.
Hello, everybody.
How are you? And we also have a 29-year veteran of the United States Secret Service.
He started when he was 4 years old.
Yes, who's now teaching his initial inaugural class at Gun for Hire Academy here. Jan Gilhooly, welcome to the family.
Anthony, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, he does have a good radio voice, Sandy. You were wrong.
Oh, God.
You're sitting next to him, aren't you? That's the 29-year Secret Service agent. He knows places to put bodies one will ever find them. Yeah. Jim, we're going to talk a little bit about your class.
He knows where Jimmy Hoffa is born. Buried.
Nobody knows that.
Nobody knows that.
The guys that know that are gone. A couple of things I want to cover. Obviously, Recall Sweeney, we're still pushing way, way ahead with that. I just want to get a few things off my plate before we get into it with these guys. Monday, I took a ride down to Cumberland County College, where the New Jersey Safe Conference is going to be October 3rd.
I thought that was going to be in Gloucester County.
I changed. Oh. It's in Cumberland County.
Because you couldn't pronounce Gloucester.
Yeah, we changed it because we couldn't pronounce it. And let me tell you something. It's in Vineland, New Jersey. It's going to be October 3rd, 10 to 6. Scott Bach is speaking. I'm speaking. Evan Knappen is going to be doing two seminars, one for lawyers with CLE credits and one for civilians. Stefan Josie is going to be there. Shanine Allen's going to be there. Alexander Rubian's going to be there. Van Gilder is going to be there. Wow. All of these people who have had their rights violated. The Carol Bound family will be there. So it's October 3rd.
This is a really good
show. The first. Listen, if anybody follows the Second Amendment Foundation, Alan Gottlieb, every year they have a Second Amendment gun rights policy conference somewhere in the country.
Which has never been in
New
Jersey.
John Willett had the idea, let's do our own in New Jersey. And we picked Cumberland County College because they were very receptive to us. A lot of places, as soon as they heard a gun rights policy conference, they pooped. They didn't want us to be there. Next year, it'll be in northern New Jersey. The year after, it'll be central New Jersey. But he's basically going to limit it. It's only going to be 500 people. Because that's pretty much what the venue can fit.
Yeah.
The tickets are a whopping $9.50 a piece. They're online. It's called the SAFE, S-A-F-E, New Jersey Second Amendment Firearms Education Conference. There's a website. There's a Facebook page. Buy your tickets and get on it because it's going to sell out. And it's going to be a great day. Gun for Hire is going to have a booth there. RTSP is going to have a booth with a simulator there. Firearm Support and Storage is going to be there. Other lawyers are going to be there. This is going to be the first time, Jan, first time ever in the state of New Jersey where civil rights and Second Amendment activists and all of the leading players in the Second Amendment arena are going to be in one venue.
Right.
Speaking, talking, sharing stories. Ainsley Reynolds is going to be speaking. He's going to be running a minority roundtable. Tony Simon is going to be there. I mean, this is going to be phenomenal.
Sounds great.
I really,
you know, we should probably even do a remote.
I didn't tell you yet, but we are doing a remote from there, and we're trying to get. We're probably going to run some Eddie Eagle programs there. We're probably going to have the Scouts come down. We're going to ask the NRA Foundation if they want to come down,
like jousting and shit.
Yes, we want to have the NRA Foundation come down so that they could sell tickets to Friends of the NRA dinners and explain to people what it's about down there. The ANGRPC is going to have a booth. The Second Amendment women are going to be in my booth. So we're going to have the women representing. This is really going to be a hot item.
Yeah.
Telling you right now. It's going to be a really, really hot item.
It's long overdue.
Yes. So this is the first one, and kudos to John Willett from the Bear Arms podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was his idea, his baby, and I've been helping him behind the scenes as much as I can. One last call. The Spartan race is sold out. 108 people running under Team Gun for Hire. No shame. Ooze, you're in that race, right?
Yes, sir.
If you haven't emailed Spartan at Gun for Hire what your shirt size is yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. We have like 16 people we're still waiting for. So reach out to your friends and family and let's get it going. Now, Jan, you being 29-year career Secret Service, and John, how many years are you on the job?
21.
21 years on the job. Woodland Park the whole time?
Yes.
I'm appalled by the shooting that occurred at our recruiting center and then the Navy center afterwards where we lost the Marines and the Navy personnel. But have you seen what our current administration is telling the recruiting stations to do?
Yeah, don't wear a uniform.
Don't wear your uniforms. Don't take your signs down and keep your blinds drawn.
Yeah.
What have we come to?
Well, we've come to that since the illustrious Bill Clinton decided to remove firearms from the military.
So it's the unarmed forces now? It's not the armed forces anymore?
Well, they're only allowed to have guns when they're playing soldier. Other than that, they can't be trusted.
Jan, were you allowed to have a firearm when you protected the president?
You certainly were. You certainly were. Any number of them, yes, of course. It's a sad state of affairs the way the administration has come out and banned active military personnel from being unarmed, certainly when the threat is there. It's one thing when the threat isn't there, and as you all well know, you respond as threats are. But when the threat is there continually, every day, to not allow these people to be armed is poor decision making.
One of the points the unarmed services said was, well, suicide rates and accident rate will go up right. If we let them carry loaded
and
guns.
It's, look, it's all about the CEO of that particular post who may be going up for lieutenant commander or colonel, and if he has an accident or an AD happen on his watch, that's going to be a black mark against him, and they complain about that, which is absolute bullshit.
You know, Ooze, you guys drive cop cars, right?
Yes.
You have accidents once in a while?
Once in a while.
So maybe we should stop cops from driving cop cars because they have accidents.
Yeah. Or maybe we should just stop penalizing the CEO of the base if there's an AD that happens. That's a safety issue.
How about addressing it through training? We still have the largest standing army in the world, last time I checked.
Right.
No?
Yeah.
How about training? A guy like Jan would volunteer his time to train active military and recruiting centers on safety and gun handling. Would you not, Jan?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you got to remember, some of the guys in the recruiting stations have had no exposure to handguns. We have to, let's keep it in perspective here.
Right.
If you go in and you're in the infantry, if you're not an MP, special forces, or an officer,
you
didn't have an M9.
Right.
Okay, you didn't handle the Beretta, or you didn't have a 45, so you had an AR-15, M16, you shot it. So now you're coming back to your home state, and you're going to recruit out of an office, but let's come up with a training program.
Right.
You
right
can get now, a volunteer training program.
Law enforcement's more prepared for an internal threat than the military is.
Which is exactly who shows up when an issue like this happens, right?
And that's the reason why a terrorist is not going to attack a police station.
Right.
Well, one of the things you see in this area is we have members of the National Guard in not only New York and New Jersey who are called upon at times to hold various types of postings in and around the World Trade Center area, in the subways. So we already see that there are military that are allowed to be in possession of a handgun doing essentially a security duty. Why couldn't there be exactly the same type of thing and the same type of training for those people who work at those recruiting stations?
Or even just to allow them to carry their own personal weapon as a concealed carry weapon.
Well, especially if they're in states that allow it.
I mean, of course.
We don't understand that in New Jersey, but if you're in a recruiting center in Tennessee, they can get a carry permit in an afternoon by stopping at the local police department. But again, I think that the military needs to address it there needs to be a training component.
Of course,
Add another 3 days training, and we could say, Ooze, you're working the recruiting post, but you can't carry unless you take the mandatory training.
Right.
And have a 2 or 3 day course on how to handle your gun, how to drive. I'd volunteer to help with that.
Sure.
I would take 2 days a month out of my schedule and help the military train and draw from a holster and et cetera, et cetera.
And again, it's not like they don't have their own internal system to do this. You know, there's an internal system that takes care of this. It's just that we have chosen to unarm. Since Bill Clinton, we have chosen to unarm the armed forces.
It's just the message it sends now to the lone wolves and the other terrorist cells is that they're lambs to the slaughter.
I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break. I mean, how many, Jan, I really like to speak to how many lone wolves does it take to make a wolf pack before we start to really seriously take threat?
I keep falling back to when will the United States adopt the Israeli mindset?
Right.
Where everybody is armed and the military is armed.
When Scud missiles start hitting Newark is about the only time. Because you know...
Well, we're not going to stop that.
No, we're not going to stop that. I'm going to get the friggin' letters now. That's great. That's wonderful. I'm going to get the hate mail from everyone in Newark now. That's good. We're not going to stop that. But seriously, if you look at the mindset of the average American, they've got head up the ass disease, and unless it's we talk about it all the time, it's normalcy bias, and you're trying to make us seem unreasonable to make yourself, who is completely unprepared, seem reasonable.
Correct.
That's what the that's what the anti-gun side.
We're going to talk about Lone Wolf. We're going to get into it with Jan, and we're going to talk about some more current events when we come back.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, montvilleoffice.com. Ron Sousa has 38 furnished private offices, telephone answering, mail, receiving, forwarding, meeting rooms, and the ability to hold seminars and events for up to 70 people. Visit montvilleoffice.com, conveniently located in Morris County, New Jersey. You got to see this place. And like we say all the time, support those who support us. Ron is one of those guys. Don't run your business out of the local coffee shop or your mom's basement. For little as $58 a month, you can have a professional presence and an office where you can meet clients, executives, multimedia rooms, and everything. It's right there for you. Speaking of which, I'm on a tear. It's been going viral with my pro gun at Starbucks. I just posted one yesterday where they printed it out on the computer receipt, pro gun.
Yeah.
And the girl's like, who's pro gun? I'm like, I'm pro gun. And other people are doing it. One guy, the girl spelled it pro G-O-N, pro gun, I guess. But you have to enunciate properly when you order it. Richie Olenek went to the Starbucks in the Barnes & Noble yesterday, and he did it, and they printed pro-gun on all of the cups for the cold drinks and everything. And the same thing, she said, you know, Trent Day green tea lemonade for pro-gun. Richie's like, I'm pro-gun, and he walked over. So we want... Uzi and I are going to go in. I'm going to be pro-gun. He's going to be pro-gun, too. So she's going to say, who's pro-gun? Who's pro-gun, too? I'm pro-gun, too. Listen, we know Starbucks has that. They don't want concealed carry permits and open carry people in their stores. And people say, why do you even go in there if they hate us? Because I like to rock the boat, okay?
Wow,
and
that,
I want it to go
surprising.
Viral. And if you're on Instagram, the hashtag is hashtag P-R-O-G-U-N, or hashtag F-U Starbucks, okay? So you can, when you take a picture, upload it, and put those two hashtags in, we want it to go viral. So, Sandy, you wanted to run some stuff, lone wolf stuff off of Jan while Uz and I over here plot against you.
Well.
Go ahead.
Still.
Yes.
Talk to me about that. What are your feelings about what's going on right now and the inability of people to call a threat, and when even trainers and briefers, and I know people in the Pentagon, we've interviewed people who have worked in the Pentagon who tried to brief and were called out by the superiors because they showed pictures of known terrorists dressed the way known terrorists actually dressed in whatever garb they wear, and were called out because that was a, you know, Islamophobic sort of a thing, and we're not allowed to call a terrorist a terrorist.
Well, the lone wolf issue, I think even last week the director of the FBI made a number of statements regarding it. It's probably one of the most scary things going on, because it's very hard for someone who is acting in a singular capacity and who does not telegraph what they are going to do by telling anyone their plans, going mm-hmm. online, having a network of people that they work with. It's very difficult to predict that kind of threat, but it is probably one of the major threats that's happening in this country. We saw a lone wolf actor just last night down in Louisiana,
yeah, right,
who, you know, brought a gun into a movie theater, much like happened out in Colorado. Was it a copycat type of situation? That's something the subsequent investigation will find out.
And one of the things that amazes me is how when something like this happens, right away there's a call for even more stringent gun control. But the issue becomes that you cannot legislate crazy out of a society. You cannot legislate evil out of a society. You cannot control a society to the point that you can legislate or control evil out of a society. Evil is always going to be there. And what we can only do is stop it from happening. I don't think you can. Can you prevent? I mean, you can do what you can to prevent an organized group. And as a Secret Service agent, you've done whatever you could to prevent issues from happening.
Well, as a Secret Service agent, one of our largest concerns was that lone wolf acting in concert with no one other than themselves. Conspiracy type of groups, you can always hope to get information on. You can get informants. There are people willing to be informants for a lot of money. That's commonplace. But when someone is acting in a lone wolf capacity, it's very, very hard to predict what's going to happen. And very often, as opposed to being able to act before the fact, you are only able to react during the attack. And that's not the situation that you ever want to be in, having to just be able to react. You want to be proactive in any one of those situations. And we're seeing it with the radical Islamic transformation of any number of people this country. And
yes,
that's again what the FBI director has pointed out, that's a, you know, of grave concern.
Well, based on a report that came out the other day from the FBI, they say that there were about 20,000 English-speaking people logging onto these pro-ISIS websites and Twitter accounts and whatever. And I think that we have to start as a society looking at this, especially in the U.S. When a psychopath tells me their intent is to kill me, I want to take them at their word. I think it's a smart thing to take them at their word, not to really just poo-poo it and say, well, oh, they were just kidding.
Well, you're absolutely correct. But then being able to take to find that out in the very beginning, hopefully through Twitter accounts or through emails or through those things, is very difficult because it's being looked at very harsh now by, you know, by the judicial system as to you know, the rights of who has to be protected from that. So that's something we should all be concerned about.
And we have to really, and again, you cannot sacrifice freedom for safety. You know, we've known that. Our founding fathers had said that. Anybody who wants to trade their freedom for safety deserves neither, really. And you have to, in a free country, in a free society, have to assume a certain amount of risk. And do I want to have to take my shoes off at the airport? But absolutely not. But I think that for the sake of a couple of lone actors and to try to prevent
it.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, yeah, you have to. I just don't think that right now anybody's really prepared. We talk about walking around in condition white all the time, and
that's head and ass disease.
Yeah, and I mean, at the very least, people need to be a little bit more.
Well, one of the things they have to realize is that, particularly with all these lone actor type of crimes, the only way they are stopped. You know, people will complain that they had a gun and use it in the commission of a crime. The only way that crime is stopped is with another gun.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's another, a novel idea.
Yeah. You know, and that's what, you know, people don't think about that, that, you know, force has to meet force.
Right. Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom. Oh, for the people.
With the news, events, and political shenanigans impacting your freedom, you're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Dr. Eric wrote his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. If you or anyone you know is located within 30 miles of Bridgewater, New Jersey, please check out Waldorf Chiropractic or just send him a thank you on his Facebook page or an email for supporting us. We really appreciate it. And again, support those who support us. Second thing I want to talk about for Bill Fearon, August 29th is a Saturday night. FundraiserWrestling.com. FundraiserWrestling.com. $10 a ticket. I bought 20 tickets already, and I'm paying for a bus for transportation for kids that live in a like an orphanage type thing, underprivileged kids, to go to the wrestling match. I will be there August 29th in Lodi, and then we're going to Blackjack Mulligan's Public House afterwards.
Very nice.
On 279 Passaic Street in Garfield afterwards. So this is going to be cool. Tickets are available online, fundraiserwrestling.com. They're available at Gun for Hire. So check it out. And this Saturday and in two Saturdays, they're going to be here selling tickets from 10 to 2 at the range as well. So again, this is for Billy Fearon, state trooper who was and still is an instructor with Gun for Hire. So check it out. The other thing is this month's Americans First Freedom with the NRA, the Carol Bowne story is covered, as well as Stefan Josi, and the NRA quotes me in it, which I thought was pretty cool because I'm usually persona non grata with them.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to the NRA for mentioning my name. So one of the reasons we have Jan in here today is Jan, for 29 years, worked in the Secret Service, and he protected our presidents, and he did Advance. That was close. You know, so this guy's been around for a long time, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about himself. But we got together. We met when I hosted the Essex County Police Chiefs here at the range a few months ago. And he's one only guy that sent me a follow-up thank you email with his credentials, and we hit it off. And Tom O'Byrne said, we really should do something with this guy. He's pretty talented. Tom O'Byrne is the one who built the range. So we're going to be offering a class, and get this. If you're a retired police officer and a member of the Woodland Park Range, the class will cost you nothing.
Nice.
Okay. If you're not a member of the range, the class is, I think it's $125. I'm not sure. I'll check it in a minute, but it's August 25th will be the first class. It's a Tuesday at 2 o'clock till 5 o'clock. And we did it then because we have police qualifications from 11 till 1. And Jan is going to be teaching this class, and the class is called After the Badge.
So if you're retired or if you're about to be retired, this is something that you really want to attend because at least it's going to show you what you can plan for the next.
Correct. And it is $125 a person. But if you're a member of the range, it's free. You just have to be a retired law enforcement officer. So, Jan, tell us a little bit about yourself. Go ahead and tell us who can attend.
First of all, also add in there, if you're contemplating making a career change, which run into more and more people in law enforcement who have decided
just had it that
it's time for a career change, this course would be very beneficial. Well, after I spent 29 years, almost 30, with the Secret Service, and when I left, prior to leaving, I had a number of offers for jobs, which I had to go through and kind of sort through, because I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Luckily, I came from an agency that sent me to retirement seminars, so I was able to learn a little bit and begin to build a folder. And one of the first things I saw was that when you're getting ready to do something this big in your life, you need to make a plan. All of us in law enforcement, at every level, before you do something big, whether it's a raid, whether it's an arrest, you always make a plan. Well, why would you go to do something this important in your life and not make a plan?
Yeah, exactly.
So I began to formulate my own plan for my own life, and it worked. I was fortunate. I had a good reputation. I knew a lot of people, and I was lucky. I went through the process, and a number of jobs were actually offered to me. And I then went back to the federal government and worked at DHS headquarters at the time for the secretary, Mike Chertoff, another Jersey guy.
Yes.
But I then, after that, I then formed my own company, in which in my company I got to read resumes from, I would hire up to 80, 90 people at a time from law enforcement and military, and I read their resumes and I interviewed hundreds of people continually. And through that and through my own experience and that of friends of mine, I saw the need for this course. And so I began. My background goes all the way back to I actually started out as a school teacher. So I always had that teacher in me, and I did teach at the on the adjunct faculty of Seton Hall. So I constructed this course. It's been very successful in giving it to people who are transitioning, to those who want to retire, and it works at every level. It can work at the executive level. It can work at the lowest level, whether police officer, chief of police, federal agencies. I've given this to the state, New Jersey State Chiefs Association, to a number of county associations, the United States Marshals, and it's been very well received. And I use the premise that in law enforcement, we all share with each other. That's how we get through our careers. We share what we do. And I felt that if I could share my experiences and many times where I made mistakes, if I can prevent someone else from making the mistakes I made, then I can save you your time and I can save you your money. So that's how the course was really developed. We'll go through such things as the plan, which you heard me mention. We'll talk about, the techniques you need in this modern day world. As a personal example, what I found was having been an executive, I could very easily turn to someone and ask them to do something for me and create it. In moving to a new position, particularly in the corporate world, someone might be turning to me and say, go do this. Well, I found that I had a weakness in certain areas of the computer. Sure, I could do email and I could surf the net and maybe I could create a document, but there was so many other things I didn't know how to do that I had to learn. And that's something that I bring to a lot of the executive level people, because I can talk to them squarely and I say, look, you have to learn these things. You have to do a self-evaluation, see where you're weak, and strengthen yourself, particularly if you're looking to go in the corporate world. So that real self-evaluation is something to do.
And we talked a little bit off the air, too, about the amount of experience that a person has that they don't realize that they have. And a good self-evaluation helps bring that about. But that's something that a person like you can lead a person to think about, where you certainly wouldn't think about it yourself.
Well, you're absolutely right. There's a segment that I do. It's called You Don't Know What You Know and You Don't Know What You Don't Know, which is that real hard evaluation where you have to figure out and look at yourself and see what you don't know. And then the You Don't Know What You Know is there's many transferable skills, which is a very important phrase to learn when you're going out to interview with other employers. In other words, what do you bring immediately? Mm-hmm. Transferable skills.
Right.
Many times people in law enforcement when they're going for another job, they want to focus on cases or an arrest or all certain qualifications. And as I try to tell them, when you're interviewing, particularly in the corporate world, they already know that. They know you did all these things. That's how you got to where you are. That's not really what they're interested in. And what they're interested in is,
What can you do for me?
Exactly right. Yeah. And right away, what don't I have to pay to teach you?
Exactly.
What do you give me right away? And if you give them something right away, you put yourself in a very good position to be hired. So that's what the course, and it also, one of the other areas we go into is resume writing, because one of the things that I found in looking at resumes coming in from the law enforcement side is that they're not sure that most of what they should have on their resumes. In 80% of the cases, I would say they write a resume like they're applying for the job they already have.
Right, right, because that's what they know.
Exactly, that's what they know. And so you have to learn, and again, this is from my own experience, how to learn how to change your resume around, change your mindset around, where the corporate world is much more interested in who you managed, how you managed, how did you save money, what ideas did you bring forth that were adapted.
Your transferable skills, like you said. Being able to take what you learned there, you might have managed a team of 90 people, 90 officers, and conducted a raid where you could have gotten killed. And you look at that as, well, I just do that every day. That's what I do. Well, to a corporate executive, that's something that is an amazing background that you can, if you can, apply that to the situation that's going on in a normal daily corporate environment.
So what does a guy have to bring to come to this class? Just a pencil and paper?
pencil and paper and a good attitude.
So 3 hours long, it's going to be a seminar by Jan called After the Badge. He's going to be there as a resource to answer questions and everything. And again, if you're a law enforthman officer, retired, and you're
thinking of retiring or thinking of just changing jobs.
And a member of the range, you're welcome to attend this on August 25th from 2 to 5. If you're not a member, it's $125 a person. What other bullet points do you have that you're going to address, Jan? Because I'm sure everybody could use help resume writing, right? We all could use some help with that.
Well, we also talk about interview techniques. Very often when you go on an interview, you may be a career law enforcement officer, as I was, and you're sitting across the table from a 25-year-old assistant vice president for personnel for a large company.
Yeah.
He may or may not have any understanding of what you did, who you are. He may or may not even like law enforcement.
Sure.
But you have to learn how to, number one, temper your responses, and number two, as I tell people, it's a well-known fact that if two people have the same qualifications, basically, the company will hire the person they like.
Correct.
You have to make yourself likable.
I mean, the other thing is, a career law enforcement officer, he could have a resume filled with acronyms. Oh, yeah. And me as a civilian, I'm like, what is this jarble? I don't understand this stuff.
Right.
So you're right. You need to have a tone of some English in there, too.
Yeah, that is one of the problems. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Yes.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
This segment is brought to you by Philly Gun Training, PHILLYGUN, training.com. Jose Morales runs Philly Gun Training in Philadelphia, PA.
I almost got it.
I should be thinking cheesesteaks and pretzels.
What's wrong with me?
Where is Jose located?
933 Spring Garden Street.
Right across the street from the permit department.
The police department.
And he has a range accessible to him right around the corner, too. If you need help.
Or in Anthony's lingo, from the po-po.
Yes. Listen, Sandy, real quick. We have a member of the range, Dr. Richmond, who I didn't know. This guy comes in and shoots all the time. He's going to be in New York City August 3rd at noon. This guy, for the past 25 years, part-time, studied Alexander Hamilton's Powderhorn.
Get out.
Now, for any of our listeners, Google when you go home Alexander Hamilton's Powderhorn, and there's a 12-minute YouTube video with Dr. Richmond on it being interviewed. Because Hamilton has certain symbols, and he's one of the founding fathers with the Treasury Department.
Yeah, he was big on symbols.
He was he was born on the island of Nevis or Nevis.
Really?
You know, he became a naturalized U.S. citizen, whatever. But
what is that, a Nevian?
Yeah, I guess. But you really want to check this out. You can watch the YouTube video, but he's also the National Archives and New York City Learning Center is going to have this seminar, and it's really cool. And if you want to find out about it, you just email newyork.archives@nara.gov. newyork.archives@nara.gov. Dr. Rickman, this guy is out there. PhD is out the wazoo. And he studied this horn. There's certain symbols. You got to watch the YouTube video. Wow, but if you want to attend, he's right in New York City, August 3rd. I have plans. Otherwise, I definitely would have gone. But he might be going on a road show with it. And it's pretty symbolic on what Hamilton has had. He went into a burning building when a fort was being bombed to get that powder horn. Hamilton. That's how important this thing was to
him. It was a talisman to him, wasn't it?
Correct. Yeah. That was his talisman. So that's pretty cool. So, Jan, so we were talking about getting acronyms. And for you people who don't know, like cops, you know, Ooh says I went to school and I studied A, B, C, X, Y, G, and I got a certificate in RX, M,
and one. Everybody does that. Every profession has its own lingo.
But again, like Jan said, I'm the operations manager of a building, and we're looking to hire a chief of security.
Right.
And Ooze comes for the job, and I look at his resume, and I can't understand shit. Okay? Because it's all acronyms. All I got out of it is married with two kids. Okay? So Jan, you're going to address stuff like this, correct?
Well, that's what we do. We also talk about, one of the things that I noticed was that it seems every law enforcement officer in the country wants to write down that he was radar qualified for 20 years. No one in private industry cares.
Except the guy who just got a speeding ticket on his way in.
What they care about is, and I've learned this, I know it's one of the first questions they ask, are you CPR certified? Do you know how to operate, an AED? That's all they want to know about. If you know those things, and that's what I tell people is one of the first talents you better have. Learn how to do those two things, and you immediately are a better candidate than somebody else.
And list that shit on the top.
But the other area that's important that we talk about is finances, because there's not a law enforcement guy or a cop in the world that isn't concerned about money, and that's a fact. And that's why that's why people, in fact, do retire. They retire because of money, and I categorize it under wants and needs. Everybody wants money, but not everybody needs money. And so you have to do a really hard look at your own personal finances to see what you really need to live your life in a manner that you want to for whatever this next period is. Do you have kids still in college? Mm-hmm. Do you have expenses of daughters and sons, a daughter to pay for their wedding, sons to pay for whatever?
Bail money.
Exactly, if needed. So that's an important part. You know, we go over that. We'll be handing out a lot of things that they get to use. And as I tell them, form your own file with this. Immediately begin to make your own file and start your plan. And, you know, that's, you know, what will work well for you.
Now, you hear the way Jan is talking. He's not like Mr. Ridget. This isn't 3 hours of him speaking, end of seminar. Questions and answers. We're also going to see how this evolves. Now, you've taught this before.
Taught it before many times.
Okay, so now we're bringing it to the range for the first time, which I think is really great. And again, if you're a member of the range and you're law enforcement or retired law enforcement, it's free to attend.
Do you cover entrepreneurship too? Like, I know a lot of cops are coming, they come out and they want to go into their own businesses too. Do you cover any of?
Well, I talk about it briefly, and I talk about my own experiences with it, the good and the bad
and the ugly. Yeah.
And sometimes it's very ugly.
Very ugly.
I was fortunate, but you have to learn what it means when you have that responsibility, what it means to hire other people, Schedule C type employees where, you merely pay them, you don't, do anything else for them, and they in turn perform a level of work for you. Mm-hmm. So we talk briefly about it, but that's, kind of a secondary thing to really what I'm really looking to do is to get people on track, make that plan. Mm-hmm. And as we all know about plans, they can always be modified, but stick with it till it has to be modified.
Now, let's talk about plans. Ooze, we had a show yesterday, right?
Yes.
Last week we talked about, and we had John Masato in here.
Right.
And Marty, the vegan pilot, who's a member of the range, by the way. Marty has a line of vegan foods. He wrote, Anthony and Jen, chime in at any time. Just a quick question. I believe Knappen, Ayub, and others explain the law by saying you draw your weapon when under threat of death or grave bodily harm to oneself or others. Seeing someone breaking into your van and drawing your gun and pursuing has to be, armchair quarterbacking here, of course, the dumbest thing I can think of. What was the threat to life and limb or threat? Then leaving the house to clear the perimeter, running after a threat. Do you know if there are others waiting to ambush, especially after hollering out the window? What if the two perps entered the house while you were outside to say nothing and get shot yourself? Is it a smart move? I think what I recall is that you gather the family as drilled in one place and defend it, call 911 and wait. If attacked, you defend. There is no proactive use of force allowed. Do I have this right, or is it all bass-ackward? I like what he said. The other thing is, sometimes there is no right or wrong, Marty. You fall on your training, and John just pumped with adrenaline, and because he trains a lot, that's how he responded. But Ooze, you want to chime in a little bit here?
Well, basically what we were talking about was training last week. We didn't say whether it was right or wrong what he did.
Yeah, we ran out of time, unfortunately.
Obviously, in New Jersey, you might want to step back a little bit before you exit your house with a firearm. You know, you got to look at, you know, what's going to happen to you in court. You know, what's the the judge,
the fight after the fight.
You know, the lawyer, you know, someone's going to sue you no matter what, whether you're cleared or not. You're going to get sued by the shitbag's family anyway, so...
Yeah, because robbing and raping, he was the best SOB on the block.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you exited your house, you know, meaning to kill him. You know, that's the words they're going to basically use.
You went hunting for him.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, we weren't there. We didn't know what the situation was, what he was thinking. And the whole base of the point was, you know, when you buy a gun, you have to be responsible with that gun. And just because you bought it doesn't mean you're going to be an expert, be able to handle it in a stressful situation. Right. It's not like Excalibur where you grab it and all of a sudden you have all the energy of the past kings, you know, going through your veins and it's going to guide you through. I mean, you know, I have a lot of students come into the class and as we go over to drills and at the end of the class, they're like, wow, I never thought I would actually have to do that. And now that you explained it and we did it, I understand why I have to learn how to do things like that.
And again, you know, shelter in place is a great idea, but John just responded. The good thing was he did have training and knowledge. I mean, he could have shot out the bedroom window at the guy, which has happened. Okay, yeah, people have done that already. So did he do everything right? No. But did he follow his own internal plan? Yes. Luckily, he didn't shoot the person. Luckily, he didn't put himself in harm's way. Right. Jan, in all the years of planning and plotting as a Secret Service agent, how many times when the poop hit the fan did things go as planned?
Well, luckily, you know, one of the things you have to learn how to do is quickly adapt when they don't. One of the things about the story you're talking about here that's a little bit also frightening is the person did not realize maybe one of his neighbors heard it and had already called 911. Mm-hmm. You could have police officers responding, and here's this gentleman running around outside the house with a gun.
Correct. Right.
And no matter what town or city you live in, they don't know everybody.
Right. Yeah. Ready to get dead.
And so now you've now just placed that officer in a very difficult situation, and he's going to have to respond as he's trained.
We're gonna continue this when we get back.
Yeah, when we come back, I'd like to get into what I think everybody's waiting for, some old war stories if we could tell them.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it on, crank it up, let's go, crank it up, it's Gun for Hire Radio.
And we're back, so let's talk about this a little more. One of the things, Jan, was John, when he yelled out the window, he came downstairs and he went out the front door, he saw the guy was gone, and he did back into the house. And when he came out to greet the police, he didn't have his firearm on him,
right,
which was part of his training, right, Ooze,
exactly,
that we went over.
Yep.
And we talk about that too. We also teach in our urban classes. Ooh's here, I'll tell you. Do we not? We explain how we teach how to respond when the police come.
Yes, definitely. You know, we tell them, please respond. You know, obviously they take care of the situation at that point. Put your gun down, hands up. Do, you know, let them come and check you. I'm the homeowner. You know, hopefully you have ID on you. If not, they could ID you in a short time. But, you know, we tell everybody, you may be handcuffed for a few minutes until everything's cleared up and all that stuff.
Don't just
for
fight
everybody,
it.
Right. Everybody's right. Safety and all that. You have to understand that. So that's definitely part of the training.
And it's important to learn that because most people, right. Jan, like in New Jersey, you've been all over the world. You know, people don't understand the gun laws in New Jersey. They're all set up to trap us.
They are.
You know, they're set up to trap us.
And, well, look at that poor SOB in Ringwood, right?
He's shot here before. Well, I don't know, but right now they're saying some of the guns and he had silencers and stuff.
Yeah, which is really stupid. But I mean, the over response that happened to this guy. I mean, what I love is the media bias. I'm going to read the headline verbatim: "Police seize guns." 40,000 bullets.
That's not a lot.
From hidden room yes. In Ringwood
Hall.
They're
calling it a bunker now.
Yeah, bunker. In quotes, a bunker. Because the guy had probably, what would you estimate, 100 grand, 200 grand worth of collectibles. Of course you want to keep that. Where are you going to keep them? In your front lawn?
The problem is you want to make sure your collectibles are New Jersey compliant.
Yes. Well, that's the issue. I mean, that's where he made the big mistake. And probably in his mind, marrying the woman he married. But, you know, here's a guy going through a divorce, obviously. And the way they use the system, but you know, partners are using the system.
It is a divorce, and it was a domestic, she called it domestic violence. And yep. The police came, and they asked if he had firearms. He said, yeah. And then she says, well, he also has a hidden room where he keeps all his guns so they couldn't get stolen or anything. And then the cops went in there, and, you know, again...
The way the media
twists it. This is a case where you should call Knapp in right away, and right, you know, right. You need to lawyer up. But if he did have stuff, you know, right away, they called an Uzi. They spelt the Uzi OOZI in the press. Uzi.
Again, this is the unfamiliarity of firearms in the state of New Jersey by many of the people. What I find intriguing are the threads of posts after this article. From absolute idiots who were 40,000 rounds. There was somebody here who, and I have to try to find it, but it was Jerry Goebel says, next we're going to hear from the NRA that the guy was probably an avid hunter and needed 40,000 rounds of ammunition to get his next deer.
Did you know 20 bricks of .22 ammo
there it is
10,000 rounds, 11,000 rounds
exactly.
Right there.
Yep. You know, we talk about this all the time. You imagine going into Charlie Padula's house?
Yeah, well, that's why he moved to Pennsylvania.
Right, and the incredible thing here is the way that they responded to this, they responded with the local police called for backup, all right? Backup comes, they call the sheriff's department, the FBI, the ATF, and Picatinny Arsenal
yes.
All show up. There's 24 police cars outside this guy's home. And all he is a gun collector with 40,000 rounds of ammo, which is a pretty reasonable day at the range.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
All right. Now, turn around, walk west about 20 minutes, this would have been the local police calling for backup just to say, man, you got to see this guy's collection.
We talk about it all the time. If you have anything that's not Jersey legal, you can't have it.
You can't have it.
All right. If you went to a gun show in Tennessee and bought a suppressor, and you went to a gun show in Georgia and you bought an Uzi pistol or something, and if it is full auto or something, don't bring it back to New Jersey.
Or 16-round magazine.
Correct. Right. Don't bring it back to New Jersey. That's good. Right. Now he's in big poo-poo.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what it comes out to be.
Absolutely.
So you two guys, you know, what would you do? You heard somebody's outside by your van. The proper thing to do would be announce, you call the police, they're on their way, and probably stay in the house.
Right.
Unless you felt threatened.
Exactly. I mean, your family's in there, so, you know, you want to make sure they're safe and all that. But, you know, there's other factors. Maybe you hear something else going on outside, you know. There's 1,000 scenarios that we could go through why you would go outside your house at that point. Just remember, your family comes first and protection and all that stuff. So, you know, sometimes you have to step back a little bit, take that breather and think. I know a lot of times, you know, we talk about is that split second decision you have to make. So, you know, like I said, I wasn't there. I don't know what was going through John's head at that point. So maybe he felt he had to go out. There was something else going on. So he went out to check.
It all happens. I mean, we've talked about this, too. I've had two false alarms happen in the middle of the night. In the wintertime, something happened with one of the motion detectors. The second time it happened, I was kind of prepared for it, and I had the wherewithal to look at my alarm detector, see that it was an internal motion detector, but no perimeter alarms had gone off, so probably it was a false alarm. The first time it happened, I'm coming down the stairs with a 2-inch snubby 5-shot revolver and a flashlight, and I'm halfway down the stairs and I'm saying to myself, man, I feel naked, because I don't know. And what the odd part about it was is that we have a lot of artwork hanging on the walls, and that damn flashlight is reflecting off one of the glass pieces and shining back at me.
You.
So now
you
I
need
think,
to practice that shit.
Yeah. And so you don't, and you're doing weird shit after the fact. I'm saying to myself, why did I ever leave that room?
Right.
Now, Ooze, 21 years you're on the job, trained professional.
Yes.
How many times have you gone into something and then the next day said, I coulda, shoulda, and woulda?
Well, it's you always do that. You always review what you did and didn't. I should have done this. I should have done that. And yeah, that's how we learn, how we teach ourselves from experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you go into a situation, you deal with it. And like Jan said earlier, you have to adapt sometimes to different situations. You could plan. And then Mr. Murphy always pops up and throws it for a loop. Yeah. So you have to just go through. Your training comes in. You go through it, and then the next day you're like, all right, you know, maybe we should have done this or we should have done that or whatever happened.
And what about you, Jan? How many times was it shoulda, coulda, and woulda? But you learned from it, correct?
Well, absolutely. One of the things that's well known is in crisis and in stress, you respond as you've trained. Mm-hmm. So it comes back once again to training.
Yeah.
And if you've never been in those situations where your heart's pumping and you're hearing things and it's dark and you're not sure, and you know that it can be very frightening. But you have to make sure that you know that you have considered these things in the past and essentially sort of run through them in your head, and that you're carrying them out the way that you've rehearsed it in your head 100 times. And you know, then when it's over, to go back and look at what you did and say, geez, I shouldn't have done this, I should have done that, and to make sure, and the overall thing is to make sure that, number one, you go home at night if you're a law enforcement officer. Yes.
And civilian, too. And you want to be home with your family.
Right. You have to consider that, and you know, make sure that you know, again, as you spoke to earlier, have that plan with your family, because protection of your family is the most important thing.
We tell our listeners, every daylight savings time, check the batteries in your smoke detectors, carbon monoxide, fire extinguishers, have a fire drill, and have an emergency drill.
Yes.
Twice a year is all that's needed
to
make sure everybody's on the same page.
Where does everybody go?
Correct. And our students, you know, that take all our urban classes, and the guys that are going to take your after the badge class, these are the people we want to surround ourselves with, because these are the people that want to learn. These are the people that want to learn more. And, you know, I say putting more arrows in your quiver, I say all the time. It can't hurt, you know, to have a few more in there. But again, we learn from our experiences. I wouldn't have done the same thing as John. I say that, but I probably would have done the same thing as John.
Right.
It's easy to be an armchair quarterback.
Absolutely. Sure.
Listen up. Evan Knappen will be here again Friday, October 16th. Ooze is the instructor for the Shoot, Don't Shoot scenarios on that.
Nice.
Jan Gilhooly will be here. Secret Service agent, retired. Jan Gilhooly, August 25th from 2 to 5 after the badge. Free if you're a law enforcement officer or a retired officer at the Woodland Park Range. $125 if you're not. Our Wilderness First Aid class, August 8th and 9th, is almost sold out, by the way. 2-day class. Jan, you were talking CPR First Aid AED, August 15th. Get certified now. Basic First Aid, August 15th. Quick Clot, learn how to stop that arterial bleed, August 19th. Urban Pistol 3, August 2nd at our Cedar Grove location. Urban Carbine 3, August 9th at our Cedar Grove location. I want to thank you guys for being on the show and enlightening us. Jan, we're going to have you on after the badge so we can discuss how it went, and maybe we'll even have a student on. Ooze, you're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Jan Gahuli, retired Secret Service agent, and Detective Lieutenant John Uzzolino, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Please, guys, each one, reach one. RecallSweeney.com, RecallSweeney.com. You can support this sausage mill by buying an I Will Not Comply t-shirt. You can go to gunforhire.com/store. They're listed there. Join our Facebook page, Gun for Hire Radio. And please remember, this is your show, so send us your questions. Okay, Winston, do your thing. We really love you guys. See you next week. To go shine at sea.